two groups saw the exact same event, but from a neurological perspective, they viewed it differently. People with gambling problems got a mental high from the near misses, which Habib hypothesizes is probably why they gamble for so much longer than everyone else, because the near miss triggers those habits that prompt them to put down another bet. The non-problem gamblers, when they saw a near miss, got a dose of apprehension that triggered a different habit, the one that says, "I should quit before it gets worse." It's unclear if problem gamblers' brains are different because they are born that way, or if sustained exposure to slot machines, online poker, and casinos can change how the brain functions. What is clear is that real neurological differences impact how pathological gamblers process information, which helps explain why Angie Bachman lost control every time she walked into a casino. Gaming companies are well aware of this tendency, of course, which is why in the past decades, slot machines have been reprogrammed to deliver a more constant supply of near wins. Gamblers who keep betting after near wins are what make casinos, racetracks, and state lotteries so profitable. "Adding a near miss to a lottery is like pouring jet fuel on a fire," said a state lottery consultant who spoke to me on the condition of anonymity. "You want to know why sales have exploded? Every other scratch-off ticket is designed to make you feel like you almost won." The areas of the brain that Habib scrutinized in his experiment, the basal ganglia and the brainstem, are the same regions where habits reside, as well as where behaviors during sleep terrors start. In the past decade, as new classes of pharmaceuticals have emerged that target that region, such as medications for Parkinson's disease, we've learned a great deal about how sensitive some habits can be to outside stimulation. Class action lawsuits in the United States, Australia, and Canada have been filed against drug manufacturers, alleging that pharmaceuticals caused patients to compulsively bet, eat, shop, and masturbate by targeting the circuitry involved in the habit loop. In 2008, a federal jury in Minnesota awarded a patient $8.2 million in a lawsuit against a drug company after the man claimed that his medication had caused him to gamble away more than $250,000. Hundreds of similar cases are pending. In those cases, we can definitively say that patients have no control over their obsessions, because we can point to a drug that impacts their neurochemistry, said Habib. But when we look at the brains of people who are obsessive gamblers, they look very similar, except they can't blame it on a medication. They tell researchers they don't want to gamble, but they can't resist the cravings. So why do we say that those gamblers are in control of their actions and the Parkinson's patients aren't? On March 18, 2006, Angie Bachman flew to a casino at Harrah's invitation. By then, her bank account was almost empty. When she tried to calculate how much she had lost over a lifetime, she put the figure at about $900,000. She had told Harrah's that she was almost broke. But the man on the phone said to come anyway. They would give her a line of credit, he said. It felt like I couldn't say no. Like whenever they dangled the smallest temptation in front of me, my brain would shut off. I know that sounds like an excuse, but they always promised it would be different this time. And I knew no matter how much I fought against it, I was eventually going to give in. She brought the last of her money with her. She started playing $400 a hand, two hands at a time. If she could get up a little bit, she told herself, just $100,000, she could quit and have something to give her kids. Her husband joined her for a while, but at midnight he went to bed. Around 2 a.m., the money she had come with was gone. A Harrah's employee gave her a promissory note to sign. Six times she signed for more cash, for a total of $125,000. At about 6 in the morning, she hit a hot streak, and her piles of chips began to grow. A crowd gathered. She did a quick tally. Not quite enough to pay off the notes she had signed, but if she kept playing smart, she would come out on top and then quit for good. She won 5 times in a row. She only needed to win $20,000 more to pull ahead. Then the dealer hit 21. Then he hit it again. A few hands later, he hit it a third time. By 10 in the morning, all her chips were gone. She asked for more credit, but the casino said no. Bachman left the table dazed and walked to her suite. It felt like the floor was shaking. She trailed a hand along the wall so that if she fell, she'd know which way to lean. When she got to the room, her husband was waiting for her. "It's all gone," she told him. "Why don't you take a shower and go to bed?" he said. "It's okay. You've lost before."
"It's all gone," she said.
"What do you mean?"
"The money is gone," she said. "All of it."
"At least we still have the house," he said. She didn't tell him that she'd taken out a line of credit on their home and had gambled it away.